right. Now, tonight what we're dealing with and the question that I have is on the subject of magic and sorcery. The Bible speaks of magic and sorcery. Example, Moses and the other two men turned staffs to snakes. Of course, you remember he throwed his staff down, became a serpent. The magicians, or the magicians of Egypt, would be men that dabbled in the occult. Is what they would have been, what we would call them then. They weren't men of God. They were men of the devil. And the Gentile nations back in that time, as well as today, have a lot of problems with this particular subject. So that's what we're going to be looking at. So that's what we'll do tonight. We'll look at this subject of magic and sorcery. Next question on here I'm not going to deal with tonight. The Bible speaks of dragons and unicorns. Is this figured or did they exist? So that will be next. We'll do that next week. Lord lets us live. We'll deal with that. So tonight, what we're going to do is look at the subject of magic and sorcery. Okay? In the book of Deuteronomy chapter 18, this stuff has always been. And we were talking about sorcery, witchcraft. We usually put that under one heading. And that's demonology. I had a demonology class in Bible college, and I got a demonology book right there on the front pew. There is such thing as demons. And you need to realize that right off the bat. The problem is that a lot of people associate that with Frankenstein and the werewolf and things of that nature, which I know I had to say it, but that they do. And so they think that demons are something that really, you know, they put it in the same category as that. There is such a thing as demons. There indeed is such a thing as demons. And you need to make sure that you never dabble in anything with regard to the occult. And that's what we're going to deal with this evening. These things are forbidden. These things are forbidden. In the book of Deuteronomy, you have it in the Old Testament, and you also have it in the New Testament. But Deuteronomy chapter 18, remember Deuteronomy means the second giving of the what? Second giving of the law. Moses wrote this in the last year of his life. He wrote this because, why? New generation had just come up. New generation that's getting ready to go into the land. So he deals with these practices. Notice what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 9. When you come into the land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. Now, that's what God told them. But you can see in many times during the days of the kings where they would drift into the practices of the people of the land. And they would, many of the people of Israel sometimes would drift into occultic practices, communing with the dead, the necromancy, and all these different kinds of things. They drifted into it. They were warned not to, and the reason why they was warned not to is because God knew that they would end up falling into these kinds of things. Young people today is very prone to these kinds of things. Did y'all hear? Young people today is very prone to these kinds. You don't want to fool with these kinds of things. Let me read on. There shall not be found among you, verse 10, anyone that makes his son or daughter to pass through the fire. Now, what that is the false god Moloch. He was a Canaanite god, and they called the valley where they had this false god set up the Valley of Tophet, which means the Valley of the Drum. What they would do is a brass god. I've told you about it before. It was a brass god. And he would have his hands out like this. And they would heat those hands red hot, and then they would take their babies and lay them on the hands of that false god. That's what they did. Pretty barbaric practice, would you not agree? Well, that was a Canaanite religion, but it eventually got its foothold also in Israel over time. Now, one of the reasons why he told them to put all of the Canaanites, you remember he wanted to destroy all the Canaanites. He wanted to wipe them completely off the planet. Now, that's what the Lord gave him the command to do. And one of the reasons for that is because he knew they would grow up to be a thorn in their side. And they were, because they adopted their religious practices on several occasions, which wasn't good. They served idols. They served false gods. So that's what it's talking about when passing your son or his daughter to pass through the fire. Or he that uses divination or an observer of times. an enchanter or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. Did y'all realize all that was in the Scriptures? That all is in the Scriptures. And these are ways that people seek to the devil, really. These are not biblical practices. This is ungodly practices. And many of the nations of the world would, especially back in the days of Israel, it's always been, they would seek to these ways to try to gain knowledge, certain kinds of knowledge, be able to get certain kinds of things. All these things are true. We still have these kinds of things down to the day. I mean, sometimes even in cartoons, they'll depict witchcraft, won't they? Sorcerers. Listen to me. There is no white witches. And there is no good sorcerer. That's just not true. That's totally seeking to the devil. It's what it's doing. And it's an abomination. But they'll have it even on cartoons, won't they? And you see how that can be an influence. They'll say, oh, I'm not a bad witch, I'm a white witch. There is no white witches. It's all a sinful practice. It's a demonic practice. And we never seek to such things as that. We seek to our God. We seek to our God and Him alone. We don't seek to use these kinds of things. And it's a dangerous thing for people to dabble in these kinds of things. You don't fool with it. Now, I'm going to tell you a little something. It talks about, verse 11, charmer or consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard or a necromancer. That's someone who seeks to commune with the dead. When a person dies, they either go to hell or they go to heaven. And when what people want to do is they want to go in there and conjure them back up. They ain't conjuring back up their dead loved one. Their dead loved one is either in heaven or they are in hell. But what are being conjured up is demons. You don't fool with that kind of stuff. They say, well, they know so much stuff. Demons know all kinds of things by observation. You don't fool with those kinds of things. So it says in verse 12, for all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. You want to understand, underline abomination. These things are an abomination unto the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before you. So God, one of the reasons He brought judgment on these Canaanite nations was from all their occultic practices. They worshipped idols, and worshipping idols is also worshipping the devil. Worshipping idols was also worshipping the devil too. So you have this in the Old Testament. I could show you other places in the Old Testament, but that's just about as plain as you want to see it. But you have it also in the New Testament. Now let's turn to the book of Galatians chapter 5. And we'll take my time, and I'm not going to get nervous or nothing about it, because sometimes I'll try to squeeze everything in, and all I'll do is mess things up when I do it. If I don't get done, I'll finish it next week. Here we have another list of sins. This is Galatians 5. I give you one in the book of Deuteronomy in the Old Testament. Now I'm going to give you one in the New Testament. In the book of Galatians chapter 5, and let's notice it at verse 20. Galatians 5 and verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are these, are manifest. Now it names adultery, fornication, that's sex outside the bonds of marriage. It's where the word pornia comes from. Uncleanliness, lasciviousness, that's unrestrained desires. And that's what you see in our land. I don't want to preach on it, but just people are unrestrained in what they do. Just absolutely, let me move on. I don't want to preach on that. Idolatry, watch this now, witchcraft. You see witchcraft named there? Witchcraft. There is such a thing as witchcraft. You have it in the old, you have it in the new, you also have it down to the day. Witchcraft. Hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. He said, and I've also told you in the past that they which do such things, what's it say? They're not going to inherit the kingdom. So they need to be saved then, don't they? People that are like the different sins that's on this list, they need to trust Jesus, and they need the sins paid for. That's a great big list of sins. Right here is why you need a Savior. Right here in this text. But you'll notice, in the text, it mentions what again? it mentions witchcraft. It mentions witchcraft. Okay? Let's see. Let me see if I can find another. Well, that's good enough. That's good enough to show you what the Bible condemns it. I just mainly want to show you how the Bible condemns it in the Old Testament, and it condemns it in the New Testament. Okay? Now, let's go to the book of Revelation, chapter 12, and we want to look there for a little bit. Now, remember, this is Bible study, so I'm going to turn you a lot. So if you can't find things, I'll lose you looking. So just listen. Number two, if you can't find things fast, remember, I put it on sermon audio so you can listen to it. So do the best you can, but it'll be put online so that folks can get it. So you can get it that way too. I just don't want to. I need to move, basically, is what I'm trying to say. And I don't want to lose you looking after things. Revelations chapter 12, and let's notice verse 3 and 4. It says, "And there appeared a wonder in heaven, behold, a great red dragon." This is a picture of the devil we done talked about. "Seven heads and 10 horns." I'm not going that way out today. "And 7 crowns upon his heads." Now notice this dragon is a picture of the devil in the text. And it says, "His tail drew a third part of the stars from heaven and then cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, to devour her child as soon as he was born." Now that child he tried to devour as soon as he was born was who? Jesus. He tried to stop Jesus at his birth. Remember, Herod sought to kill him. Why did they want to kill him? Because he was the Messiah. He wanted to stop him from going to Calvary to pay our sin debt. If he never died, if he had to live a perfect, he had to be born under the law, live a perfect life, go to Calvary and pay your sin debt, and rise again. He had to do all of that. So he tried to devour him as soon as he was born. Okay. Now, what I want to draw attention to here in verse 4 is his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven. And I think what that's referring to is the original fall. And these stars he's referring to is fallen angels. He drew a third part of the stars of heaven. When he fell, he drew a third part of the stars of heaven after him. Now, I don't know how many that would be, but it would be a multitude of them that you can't hardly number. Or, I'm sorry, it'd be a multitude that you can't number. So there's a great number of fallen angels, which are also called demons, which are also called unclean what? Unclean what? Unclean spirits. Now, that's one of the most common names that they are called in the Scripture. Let me read you a little something about the text I read. It said, "Any real or pretended league and association with the devil, seeking to converse with familiar spirits." Don't people try to do that? They want to conjure up their dead loved one. You're not conjuring your dead loved one up. There's a spirit that will come up at times. Now, some of that stuff is just fake stuff. But there's some of that stuff that's real. When someone dies, Hear this old Baptist preacher. When someone dies, their spirit leaves their body. We say absent from the body when you're born again. Absent from the body. What's absent from your body? Your spirit. Your spirit leaves your body when you die. When Jesus died, he delivered up the ghost, it says. That means delivered up the spirit. His spirit left his body. When someone dies, their spirit goes to one or two places. It either goes to heaven or it goes to hell. Either one. You're going to go to either one or the other places. They're not floating around here on the earth. That's just not true. And one thing people, when they fool with these seances and these all kinds of things, trying to conjure and bring back their loved one from the dead, that's when things really get dangerous. You're not conversing with the spirit of your lost loved one. You're conversing with an unclean spirit. You don't ever fool with those kinds of things. That's why in Deuteronomy, in the Old Testament, and in the New Testament, God warns His people away from such practices. All God's people see it. It's a dangerous, dangerous thing to fool with. In the New Testament, over and over again, Jesus dealt with demons. And I imagine because, did they know who Jesus was? They sure do. They knew Him. They knew Him from before. They knew His power. And you know something else they know? They know they're already whipped too. And they're trying to cause as much damage and to take as many people with them as they can. Because they have no hope. When Jesus died on Calvary, He didn't die for fallen angels. He died for His people. So I'll go in more of that here. These fallen angels, these demons, that's the same deal. The same thing. They're both the same thing. They don't have any hope. Let me read this to you. Any real or pretended league in association with the devil, seeking to converse with familiar spirits to gain unlawful knowledge or to hurt fellow creatures. Like casting a spell on somebody, trying to do something. I think they tried to cast a spell on me one time. I remember someone mentioning it to me. Nothing happened, thank God. Yeah. Which, as it is, doing honor to Satan, distracts from the glory of God, rightly following idolatry, conjuration, soothsaying, necromancy, all kind of magic are included and condemned hereby. In other words, God's people's not to fool with it. And lost people shouldn't fool with it either. Because one thing for sure, that opens them wide open to affliction by unclean spirits. You said, Jeff, you believe in unclean spirits? The Bible has it all through it. Old and New Testament, the Bible has it all through it. People shouldn't fool with such things. People shouldn't fool with such things. Okay? Go to Ephesians chapter 6. I'm still laying my foundation. I got to take the time to do that. Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. The only way you can be strong is to be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord in the power of His might. Now listen to this. Put on the whole armor. You got to put on your armor. Why you got to put on your armor for it, beloved? You got to get ready to fight. You got to get ready for a battle because we're battling against something. And this thing that we're battling against, we can't see it. We can see the evidence of it. And that's what it says in verse 12. Put on the whole armor that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Our fight isn't against flesh and blood. Still, your flesh and blood. You're here tonight sitting in this congregation. Guess what you are? You're flesh and blood. It says your battle isn't against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So he goes on to say, wherefore take to you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. So, makes it clear in the text that we are in a war with satanic, with demons. The devil is not in hell. The demons are not in hell. They are active here on the earth. They are active here on the earth. The Bible calls them spirits, and I've done mentioned that to you. They're called what kind of spirits again? Unclean spirits. What's a regular angel called? Clean spirit. It's a clean spirit. There's unclean spirits, and then there would be clean spirits, and the clean spirits are the angels. And the angels are innumerable. They are innumerable. So, Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 14 says they're ministering spirits. Let's look at that now. Hebrews chapter 1. Ministering spirits. Hebrews chapter 1. It says in verse 13, to which the angel said he at any time, sit down on my right hand until thine enemies are made your footstool. So he's talking about angels in the text. And he says, are not these ministering spirits? You see the word ministering spirits? What's a ministering spirit? A ministering spirit is an angel. What's an unclean spirit? An unclean spirit's a demon. I want you to see the difference between the two. Angels are ministering spirits. Now, I'm not going to explain verse 14 tonight. I'll let you go ahead and look it up for a little bit. Are not these all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of eternal life? We'll preach on that sometime. They shall be heirs of eternal life. They're sent forth to minister to them. All right, so we see the difference between the unclean spirits and the clean spirits. Clean spirits are angels. Unclean spirits are demons. Where are they at? They're active here on the earth. The book of Revelation said he drew a third part of the stars of heaven when he fell. And the angels are all, the scripture says they're innumerable, describes the angels as being an innumerable company of angels. So that's a lot of demons here on this earth. Since they're spirits, you don't see them. Since they're spirits, see, a spirit doesn't have flesh or bone. So they're invisible. You don't see them. So they work behind the scenes. And they do a lot of damage. That's why it's such a dangerous thing for people to seek to seances and all these kinds of things that people, necromancy and all these different kinds, trying to commune with the dead. And that's the dangerous thing you could fool with. Don't fool with that kind of stuff, because that opens you wide open to that kind of stuff. It's a dangerous thing. Okay? So the first thing I showed you about this tonight is there are spirits ministering. Spirits is what the angels of the Lord are. Unclean spirits is what the demons are. Okay? Now, turn to the book of Jude chapter 6. Jude chapter 6. Now, I'm going to start preaching here in a minute. I'm just warming up. Jude 6. Did I say chapter? That's the first mistake I've made this year. Jude 6. Jude 6. Now, I want to explain this text a little bit to you. We showed you, first of all, that they're spirits. Now, look at verse 6. And the angels which kept not their first estate. What was their first estate? They were in heaven, wasn't they? And what happened? When Satan fell, he drew a third part of the stars of heaven, which means they fell too. They fell along with him. It says, the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation. Now, it says they're reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of that great day. Now, I don't believe that the angels are in chains in hell today. I just don't think that's true. I think the idea that they are reserved until the days of judgment is that they have no hope of salvation. I think that's what the chains are. Can you imagine being chained with no hope of heaven? No hope. When he died on Calvary, he died for men. He died for his people. That's what he did. But he didn't die for fallen angels. They have no hope. And that's a chain that you don't want to be binded with. They have no hope. I mean, it's just a matter of time before they will be casted into hell. And you think how bad hell is. You think how bad hell is. You study in the book of Revelations, it describes the people that are in hell, but you know who else will be there? It says hell is reserved for the devil and his angels. Now think about that. Think about people that go to hell. Think about the company that they'll be around. That's a horrific, the most horrific thing in the world is for somebody to die without Jesus. That's why we preach the gospel. So they're active here on the earth, they'll know. They're not in hell. When we would study through the book of Revelation, you'll remember, I'm going to go back and revisit it, but I believe the bottomless pit is their headquarters. I think the bottomless pit and hell is two different places. I think they can come and go out of the bottomless pit. And I think that's the abode. I think they had, remember it said they had had an angel over it, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, which is the devil. And I think that's their headquarters here on earth. Eventually, they'll be casted into hell. Eventually, they will be. So they're spirits, and they've been reserved into chains of darkness awaiting judgment, meaning they have no hope of heaven. The reason why it upsets me is because I think of a lot of people that I've services I've done over the years, and when they died, they were lost. As far as I know, they's lost. The worst thing in the world for anybody is for them to die and go to hell. We preach on hell, we should. But I certainly, breaks my heart when someone dies without Jesus. All God's people say it. It's a horrific thing. Alright, so we know they're spirits. We know that they sinned, and we know that they're in chains of darkness awaiting judgment. They're active here on the earth right now, but they know they have no hope of heaven. They have no hope of the promised land. The abyss, I believe, is their headquarters while they're here. And they're active here on the earth seeking to cause trouble. Number three, they know God's people too. You know how they know God's people, don't you? They wear I'm a Christian shirt on. You got I'm a Christian shirt, they know you're saved. There's nothing wrong wearing a Christian shirt, by the way. We got them here. We give them away to people at the church. It says, I'm a whosoever. John 3:16 on the front of it. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. But how the demons know you, because you have a profession of faith in Jesus Christ and you have a changed life to go along with it. A demon ain't going to bother a hypocrite, beloved. Did you hear what I just said? They ain't going to bother a hypocrite. A hypocrite does all the damage in the world. Y'all agree? They'll let a hypocrite go. Now, there's some hypocrites just might be saved. They're just in a bad way. You know, they're not what they should be. I mean, there's been some good people I know of that drifted into hypocrisy that God took them to the woodshed over. I expect when someone's been born again and you're a child of God, beloved, he'll take his rod out and whip you. So that's a possibility for some of them too. They know God's people. And they know it by the profession of faith and by the change of life. That's how they know who they are. I think they would kill us if they could, but they can't. You know why? I'm already possessed. I'm already possessed. You say, what do you mean? The Holy Spirit's in me. God put a seal on you the moment you believed. The moment you trusted in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, He put His seal upon you. That means, you know what the seal means? It means it's a sign of ownership. It means Larry Eccles belongs to Jesus. And they can't touch you unless God permits it. Do y'all believe that? You say, well, why will God permit it? He did with Job, didn't He? Did y'all forget about Job? He said, the only reason why Job serves you is because of all you've done for him. You touch what he has, and I'll curse you, and he'll curse you to your face. Did he? No. Boy, he brought glory to the Lord, though, didn't he? I don't know why that happened, for sure, but I know one thing. Whenever somebody suffers, and they don't understand why they're suffering, you know what book of the Bible they go to? Job. Job is the minister to the suffering saint. He truly is. Boils all over him. Lost all, 10 total children, I believe it was. It's just unreal what he went through. Well, he knows God's people. You remember in Job, he said, have you not considered my servant Job? Had he? Sure did. Let's go to Acts chapter 19. Let me give you this one. They know God's people. I done a sermon one time when we went through the book of Acts. I said, do the demons know your name? Do the devils know your name? Think about it. Do the devils know your name? Acts chapter 19. We want to begin at verse 13. I'm going to be able to calm down a little bit now. There were some Jewish exorcists here in Acts 19. What's an exorcist? Someone seeks to cast demons out of someone. I think these guys here were charlatans. Fakes. I think they might have actually cast demons out, but I seriously doubt it. Certainly they couldn't cast this one out. Are you ready? There was a certain of the vagabond Jews. They just traveled around and they were exorcists. I just think they was professionals like some of these preachers are. They go around praying on the weak, the sick, and the elderly. I'm going to leave that lay. Exorcists. Certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits. The name of the Lord Jesus, saying, "We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches." Because they'd seen Paul cast out demons. Paul and Barnabas, Paul and Silas, they would do that. They could do that. They had the ability to do that, to cast them out. So we say, so they tried to do the same thing. These exorcists, Jewish exorcists, I think they were fakes. It says they were seven sons of Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests. They had a job at the temple. He was chief of the priests which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said. Now, who answered? The evil spirit. That's the also called an unclean spirit. What's a good spirit? It would be an angel, wouldn't it? And the evil spirit answered, and listen to this. Jesus, I know. Jesus, I know. Who else did? Paul. Boy, he knew Paul, didn't he? He knew who Paul was. They battled against him. Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. But who are you? These guys were lost men. They were religious lost men is what they were. They never trusted in Jesus. And the evil spirits answered and said, "Paul, Jesus, no, Paul, no." And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them. See, when someone's possessed with a demon, they just have superhuman strength. Remember Legion in the New Testament? He broke chains. Nobody could handle him. I mean, these things, we associate that with werewolves and Frankenstein, but these things are true. These are real. You don't fool with these kinds of things. And what's happening is young people can get involved with these kinds of things real easy, and it's a dangerous thing to fool with. Trying to conjure up the dead, trying to have seances, and all of these things opens them up. You don't hear a lot of preaching on this subject, but these are things you don't fool with. These are frightening things. And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overcame them, prevailed against them, so that they fled out the house naked and wounded. Who did that? That one man did. How was he able to do it? Demons in him. He's strong. Strong. So, they know God's people. They knew Paul. They knew Paul. They know God's people. Do the demons know your name? Do the demons know your name? They know who he is. There's also doctrines of demons. Let's look at 1 Timothy 4:1. There's also doctrines of demons. People forget that. Doesn't it make sense if there's true doctrine, if there's going to be false doctrine? Don't you think if there's a true gospel, that there's going to be a false gospel? Doesn't it make sense? Have you ever heard me say the devil's never so dangerous as when he carries a Bible? In the book of Matthew chapter 7, you don't have to turn there. But in the book of Matthew chapter 7, it says, many will say in that day, they'll say, "Lord, have we not prophesied?" Prophesied, that means they thought they were prophets. "We prophesied in your name. In your name we did what? Casted out demons. And in your names they've done many wonderful works." What's the Lord going to tell them? "Depart from me." Calls them workers of iniquity. He said, I never knew you. Beloved, the one thing you never want to hear is for the king to say, "I don't know you." I can't even imagine that. It says many. You see, the Bible don't do like we do. We exaggerate things sometimes. Yeah. It don't exaggerate. It means many in that day. This is millions or billions of people that were religious, that had trusted a false way. Who's behind that? The devil is. He's behind it. Are you in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1? How many is in 1 Timothy 4 and 1? You know what? I'll give you time to get there. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1. The Spirit speaketh expressly. How's the Spirit speak? How's the Spirit speak? He speaks to His book. Who authored the book? Holy men of God spake as they was moved by the Holy Spirit. You want to hear God speak? Go to His book. I get nervous when I hear a preacher say, "Now God told me the other day." I get nervous about stuff like that. I think it's easy to deceive people because I can see them all the time do that on television. God told me to tell you to do this. I had a guy do me like it one time. I said, "All right, when God tells me, I'll do it." God told me to do this or that. God would speak to a prophet through the use of a vision or a dream. The only one I know that the Bible says He spoke to face was Moses. I had a guy get mad at me over that. I said, "Are you Moses?" Man, the last person I heard that God spoke to face was Moses. "Are you the second Moses?" I can be kind of mean sometimes, but sometimes people need to be mean too. Especially if they say silly things such as that. All right, let's read on. 1 Timothy 4:1. Spirit speaketh expressly in the latter times. Are we in the latter times? Yes, we've been in the last days. I told you in Revelations 2,000 years, we're in the latter stages of the last times. So this is talking about our time. Are you ready? "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, then in latter times some shall depart from the faith." Now, when you see the term "the faith," it's talking about the truth, Bible truth. It means people's going to depart from Bible truth in the latter days. You seeing it happen? Oh, my. "And they're going to give heed to seducing spirits." These seducing spirits are what? They're unclean spirits. "And doctrines of demons." Did you know there's doctrines of demons? Any kind of false doctrine would be a doctrine of demons. "Speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron." To have your conscience seared means you don't have no conscience. Things don't bother you. Sometimes I see people do things, I'm like, looks like that would bother them. When I see someone get on TV and they seek to get money off people that are poor to get their miracle. Yeah, I mean, to get your miracle, you got to send them a check. It just makes me wonder. What a horrible way to be. Jesus, when he had the gift of healing, the apostles had the gift of healing, you know what He told them? "Freely you have received, freely give." These guys charged for it. Y'all look at their homes. Y'all look what they drive in. You all look how they travel. They go by jet. I go by John boat. They go by jet. Pitiful. There is such a thing, beloved, as doctrines of demons. There is such a thing as that. And the worst form of doctrine of demon is a false gospel. Because there will be many people that trust the false gospel and will not make it because they were deceived. Who did it? Doctrines of demons. False doctrines. Doesn't it make sense that the devil work that way? You say, there's only... The Bible says the road to heaven is narrow. Narrow. Few there be that find it. But the road that leads to destruction is broad. And it's filled with religious people. It's trusted a false way. And haven't trusted the right gospel. And who's behind that doctrines of demons is the devil. Like I've always told you, he's never so dangerous when he carries the Bible. Okay? Israel, of course, was warned against these things. I give you that in the beginning. They were seek to their God. Should not. Matter of fact, he told them, should not a people seek to their God? Sometimes they go to other nations to try to get help. He said, should not a people seek to their God? Saying, you need to seek to me first. All right, let's go to Matthew 16. I'm going to have to stop at this. Because it's almost 8:30. Y'all enjoying this? I hope you are. I hope it's a blessing to you. It's a little bit different. It's a good question, don't you think? It's a good question, and we have these kinds of problems always down to the day. This one right here bugged me a little bit when I looked at it. It didn't really bug me. It just made me think a little bit about something. Can the devil influence your thinking? Can the devil, does he seek to influence your thinking? Y'all think? I'm not sure, but I surely think that he can plant things in your mind. I think he can. I think he's big on suicide. I think he seeks to get people to kill themselves, especially God's people. He can't take their salvation, but if he can snuff out a light, couldn't he? I think he uses depression. I think he uses a lot of things to try to destroy people, especially God's people. I think he works that kind of way. Matthew 16, notice what it says. Verse 22. Then Peter took him. Well, let me. I have to read verse 21. I'll stop with this. That's my sixth stopping. Verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show to his disciples how that he must go to Jerusalem. Now here's what he's saying. He said, I got to go to Jerusalem. He's letting him know, letting his disciples know he's going to do what there? Going to die there. He's let, you know. He must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed. Jesus told his disciples, he said, I'm going to be killed. But he said, I'm going to rise again the third day. That's what he said. That's what Jesus told his disciples. He's letting them know this in advance so they would understand, but they didn't. And I want you to listen to what Simon Peter says. Are you ready? And Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Who did he rebuke? He rebuked the Lord. You know you're in bad shape when you do that. He rebuked him. He said, be it far from thee, Lord. What did Simon Peter say? Be it far from thee. He didn't want Jesus to die on Calvary. He didn't want that. So he says, be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. Now watch this. Jesus stops and he turns. And he said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense to me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those things that be of men. Who influenced what Peter said there? The devil did. The devil did. So, that's a frightening thing to think about. He no doubt planted that in his mind in some fashion. And he made a statement that he would have wished he'd ever made. And he told Satan to give hints. So can the devil put things in your mind? I'm going to ask you, do you think the devil can put things in your mind? How many thinks he can? Raise your right. I just want to see. Is that everybody? I think he can too. You know one of the main things I think he puts in God's people's minds? You really want me to tell you? I think he'll try to get you to kill yourself. I ain't going to ask anybody here ever thought about it. I did that one time and it scared me to death. And I'm going to ask him about it. See, if he can get you to kill yourself, what does that do? Snuffs out a light. Snuffs out a light. He'll seek to do that. He plants seeds in your mind. Now, you know, have you ever had anything, this come into, for him to say that, that had to come into his mind, didn't it? But he recognized that that thought was influenced by the devil. So what I'm trying to tell you is, oh my, I done a sermon, you can look this up sometime, called The Battle of the Mind. He goes after your mind because he can control your mind, he can control you. He'll try to get you to kill yourself. He'll try to get you to do something, how can I say it, good, stupid. He'll try to get you to do something that's stupid, that you know better not to do. He'll plant it there, and then you nurture it. You know when bad things, did I get bad thoughts in my mind? Well, do you? Let me ask you, do you get bad thoughts in your mind? Is there anybody in here that don't get bad thoughts in their mind? I want to shake your hand after the meeting. Yeah, Lee's about the only one, right? Yeah. You have bad thoughts in your mind. Everybody here does. Satan will plant that there because he wants you to nurture that thing so that it will come into the action stage. I cut it off at the pass, though. When I get a bad thought, I say, Lord, forgive me for that thought. Get that out of my mind. Because the devil, much of the Christian fight, will be a battle of the mind. I'm going to stop. All God's people said, let's all stand. Hope you enjoyed that. I may go a little bit, I still got more stuff to do with it. I just kind of laid the foundation today.